Today's scriptures that we hear, they seem to present to us a kind of a contradiction. So in the first reading from the prophet Joel, he insists that the Lord's people present their faith publicly by saying, blow a trumpet in Zion, proclaim a fast, call an assembly, gather the people, notify the congregations. And then in the second reading, Paul testifies, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are public representatives to the culture concerning the identity of who our Lord is. And then you have the gospel reading, where Jesus seems to indicate that public presentations of the faith are unseemly, and what is required for an authentic faith in our religious devotions is that they remain private and unseen. So we ask ourselves, what is it? Is it public or is it private? So maybe we may think that the gospel is supporting what we sometimes hear in our culture, that one's faith is best kept to yourself, and that religious practice should be kept separate from public life. But I don't think Christ's concern is really about favoring the assumptions of our culture in regards to the relationship of religion and public life. Instead, I think what our Lord is trying to get at is about hypocrisy and using one's religious convictions as a means towards the fulfillment of some motive that's underneath, maybe like receiving honors or public affirmation. And so maybe in this respect, the spiritual lesson the Lord identifies is not so much about whether or not religious fervor is best kept private, but whether or not we have been given careful consideration to the motives in our own spirituality. What is it that drives us? What is our purpose to our religious convictions, to the practices that we have individually? Maybe it's easier to be hypocritical in private rather than in public, but one can be hypocritical in both. So it's not the setting that matters or the primary concern, but maybe what the Lord is getting at is, who are we? Christ's point is that if your public expressions of piety or your public charity, your public service, are meant to inflate your own ego or your sense of self, to make it appear to others that you are better than those folks you think less, then it would be better for you to retreat from the world and in your isolation, learn the true meaning of religious devotion. It's not about you. And it's not about what you want, but it is about what God wants for you. And it is this sincerity about our motives that orders the great three pillars of Lent that we remember: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. All of those, they can have both a public and a private dimension. So the season of Lent is a time of intense recollection concerning the state of our own souls. All of us have fallen short. As Paul said in the reading, all have sinned. This is a universal insight. There are no exceptions, except obviously for two, and they belong to a very exclusive club, both Christ and his mother. And as painful it is to hear for all of us, to more or less, we are all hypocrites in one way or another in terms of the practice of the faith. We know what the Lord expects of us, and we also know that those expectations are challenging, they're hard. It is easier just to appear to be good or virtuous, and it is particularly easy to receive the benefits that come with the appearance of being a disciple of the Lord, rather than making the sacrifices to be one in actual fact. So, fellow sinners, a stark encounter with our truth is required of us during Lent. Now, this may be just too much to bear, if not for the fact that Christ assures us that he will come to us not simply just as a teacher or as a judge, but as Savior, who is ready, who is willing to forgive and restore us to communion in his divine life. The truth of who we are, what we have become, what we have done, what we have failed to do, is absolutely necessary, because without such a realization, we would remain in that dark place of denial. And in that dark place, we may wallow in misery. But this reckoning isn't meant to bring us into the darkness. It's meant to bring us out of darkness. Lent, if we observe it rightly, is a spiritual passage that culminates in forgiveness and in the possibility of a second chance. That is our hope. And so today, we accept a mark of ashes on our forehead, a mark that will distinguish us publicly as sinners. And what we know privately about ourselves, sometimes we show that to the world. But that we are sinners is not the only truth that is on display with the ashes. The ashes are a sign to the world that we have received something extraordinary, something undeserved from Jesus. A word of forgiveness that is creative, that is living, it's effective, and which, if all of us and each and every one of us accept it, gives to us and to the whole world what we need most: the gift of a new start and the unexpected grace of one more chance. So when does this happen? Paul says it best. Now is a very acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation.